Hey there, and welcome to the Oxano podcast. Oxano is a worship service for college students and young adults that takes place weekly during the school year at Dawson Family of Faith. If you're ever in Birmingham, Alabama on a Tuesday night, we hope you'll join us as we worship through song, prayer, and the word. Thanks for listening.
Right, it is great to be here, and I am just excited, and I just want to say thank you to Cole. Cole is a very dear friend, and I don't know why in the world he introduced me the way he did with all of those good things. So now the pressure is on, all right? The pressure is on, but thank you so much. And I really am appreciative for my wife. Angel is in the back, and Cole mentioned her. And surprisingly enough, this year we will be celebrating 20 years of marriage. Every last one of y'all just scored me some good points. Thank you for clapping. But I also have two of my sons here, Jacob. He will be attending Auburn in the fall. And I also have my youngest son, Israel, who is here with us also. But I want to just dive right into our passage. I've listened to the sermons. This is the third chapter, but I've listened to the first chapter. And I've heard my brother Cole, and it's hard to come after Cole, but I heard him, and they broke down the text and the doctrine portion of Colossians. And so what I would like to do is just dive right in to the practical side of this writing. And so I would like to pray first, and then we will go directly into God's word. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for being a faithful God. We thank you for being a miracle-working God. And so, God, today, thank you for this opportunity to go before your people, to share your word, to preach the gospel. And so, Lord, we'll forever be grateful to give you praise, glory, and honor. It all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, I would like to start with this. I've heard this statement as I have matured and have faced some unbelievers. I've heard them say things about us Christians that they every now and then try to make jabs at us, you know, because they don't understand our life. They don't understand what we're doing. They don't understand that we live differently. They don't understand that we're supposed to communicate differently. And so I've heard this statement here. You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I know what they're trying to say, that you live on earth, don't be so spiritual. But I have to say, looking at the third chapter of Colossians, I think we need to look at that statement differently, because every last one of us should be heavenly minded, that we should focus on the things that are of the kingdom of God, not the things that are on earth. And it's not easy in our world. In our culture, we are tried and tested with so many different things. And you know it, just like I know, social media, you see so much on social media, you see so much, I hear so much in our music. Y'all looking at me, look, you say, well, what type of music you listen to? Well, I'm gonna tell you, I don't listen to crazy music, but every now and then I might hear something and I'm saying, what is that? And so I bring all that out to you, that we need to think heavenly. We need to think heavenly. Paul is talking to this church, and he's trying to help them to understand who they really are in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, I don't know if you really know who you are in Christ, but you are somebody special. Sometimes we take our relationship with God and we just go through the motion. But my prayer and my desire tonight is that we don't go through the motion, but we actually live out who we are in Christ Jesus. And so tonight, I'm going to dive right into it. I'm not going to give you a long layout of the history. It has already been shared. And then I don't want you to leave and leave me here by myself, so I'm going to cut some time. I want to look at the third chapter, verse 1. Verse 1, it starts off this way. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The if in this passage, it's not Paul having doubt, but it's what you call the if of argument. So this scripture probably could be described a little bit like this. Since then you were raised together with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, what Paul is saying to these believers, and he's saying to us today, is this, that as new creatures, we should be saying goodbye to the former things. The things we used to do, the places we used to go, the things we used to think, we should be saying goodbye to those things. That we shouldn't be living in the same place, with the same clothes, with the same identity, because we have been raised with Christ. He's saying, seek the things that are above. I want to tell you that as believers, we should be looking to the things that are close to God, that has to do with God, that has to do with Christ, that has to do with the kingdom. But what we tend to do sometimes, we tend to focus on those things that we can see. And I'm telling you, the enemy, the evil one, he tries to trick us and he tries to make the things we can see more important. But I want to tell you, as believers with a new identity, with new clothes on, we have to seek the things that are above. And I'm going to say amen. You say, that's all you're going to give me? I did not come here tonight to go deep. I did not come here tonight to try to wow you and to impress you. Maybe I do that on Sunday at my church. I don't know, but I didn't come for that tonight. I come to drive home to us as college students, to us as high school students, to say if we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to start thinking about things differently. We have to have a different perspective from the world. And can I have at least one amen? All right, I come from a church, you have to talk back to me. He says, seek those things which are above. Not the things that are on earth. Don't seek those things. Paul is talking to these believers. And with the challenges that they were faced with the theological challenges, with the oppression from those that were trying to get them to do other things, Paul is saying, this is what I need from you. I need you to seek the things that are above. But then he goes on and says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Referring to, this is what he's saying, you have to consciously focus your thoughts, desires, intentions. You have to focus everything on the things of God, the things of heaven. That you have to change and you have to be careful of how you're thinking and what you're doing and how you're practicing certain things. If what you're doing is not of the kingdom of God, then you shouldn't do it. Set your mind. And I'm telling you, everything it starts with the mind. If you just start thinking about things that you should not do, it won't be long before you end up doing it. In other words, you have to set some boundaries. That's what Paul is saying. Set some boundaries for your mind. There are some places your mind should not be focusing on, some thoughts and some things and some emotions. I don't care if your friend tells you, this is cool, let's do this, let's do that, you have to say, no, it's not lining up with the things of God, and I'm not going to do it. My attention, my focus is on the things that are above. Amen. Set your mind on things that are above. A.T. Robinson said this. He said, the baptized life means that the Christian is seeking heaven and is thinking heaven. He's seeking heaven and thinking heaven. His feet are upon the earth, but his head is with the stars. He is like living like a citizen of heaven here on earth. That's the way we're supposed to live. We should be thinking heaven. We should be seeking heaven. Our feet should be on earth, but our head should be in the sky, because we should be living like citizens of heaven on earth. When he says, seek those things above and not those things on earth, I know he's talking to that church, and it feels like he's talking to us, and he is. I want to talk to you that we should not seek, and I'm just going to name a few things, materialism. How much I can possess. I was just hanging out with some guys, and this is what they said to me. They said, man, we love talking about watches. And they were naming some real nice bands and brands and stuff. And I'm saying to myself, man, I'm going to buy me a watch. Knowing I can't afford it. I got a son going to Auburn. I just really can't afford anything right now. But do you see how quick I was bringing my eyes down to the material things that really doesn't matter? And I'm riding all the way home like, what's going to be my next watch? We have to be careful, because the enemy, the evil one, he wants us to be so caught up with materialism and with new cars and new things and new clothes and all of these things. And while we're seeking these things, we will miss the things of God. Status, recognition. And I have to say this one, because we're going there. Earthly pleasures. I want to tell you that as new creatures and as believers of God, what Paul is saying to that church, and he's saying to us, I believe this. You can't straddle the fence. You can't have one foot on God's side, and then on the other side, you are in the world. You can't do that. And I'm telling you, I confess, my name is Jacob Lorenzo May Sr. I confess there have been times I've tried to straddle the fence. My dad being a pastor, and I'm playing music in the church. As a matter of fact, that's how I met my wife. She walked into church, and I played the best service. We'll talk about that later. But I was in the church, but not really in the church. That if you saw me at church, I looked holier than thou. But then when I stepped out of church, it's almost like I changed clothes. Did you get that? That I was trying to put on one garment in church and then another garment outside of church, and it was too much. What he's saying is, you can't straddle the fence. Colossae, you can't do all of these things. You can't have you're worrying about all of this stuff that you're here. I just need you to focus. And I'm telling you here tonight, you just need to focus. Listen, I'm taking more time than I should. Let's move forward. He said, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, referring to our spiritual reality. He's talking about our experience as believers, being united with Christ through faith. He's saying, you are dead. You have died. And you know what he's talking about. He's talking about the old self. He's talking about the former sinful nature of our lives, the things we used to do. We are dead to that. When we were baptized and we went into the water, the believer's baptism, we put all of that stuff and we laid all of that stuff down, and we came up in the newness with a new identity. Amen. We came in looking and living and in a different reality. He's saying, you're dead. That stuff is gone. But I love this. He said, you are hidden with Christ. He's saying your spiritual union with Christ, this union with Christ provides a sense of security, purpose, and belonging for the believer. And I want to tell you that when you are really in Christ and you have on the new clothes and the new garment and you're walking in the new self that you have been given by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, the world is not going to understand you. And I'm going to tell you, we have to just stop trying to be people pleasers and trying to entertain folks. I'm telling you now, the world is not going to understand it, because the real you, the life that you have been given, is hidden with Christ. I believe what Paul is talking about when he talks about you have died and your life is hidden with Christ, I believe he's referring to our position and not our practice. Because our identification with Christ, in Christ, is in his death. God wants us to consider ourselves dead. I ask you this. Are you really dead? Are you really dead? Have you given up those desires and those things and those things that don't line up with God? You know what I'm talking about. We do things and then we just think we can just quickly repent and that's it. Yes, we can. We can go to God and repent, and that's what we should do, but we have to make sure that the things of the old nature, they are gone. I don't live like that no more. Can I see a show of hands? Is there anybody that's really thankful to have the new identity? I just see about 5 people. Okay. All right. I hope this is helping you. I hope this is challenging you. You are a new crowd for men, so it's a little different. It really is. He says this, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ should be our life. That's what Paul is saying to them. He should be your identity. He should be your everything. And he should be ultimately your life. And when he returns, if you are in Christ and you have the new identity, you have repented and you have received by faith the Holy Spirit and he's living on the inside of you, when Christ appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Just think about that. You will appear with him in glory. Now at this present time, we are raised with him, and we can enjoy the life that is not seen or understood by the world. We can enjoy that right now. Paul is saying the day is coming when the Lord Jesus will return for his saints. And I want to be, as I heard them say in the old church that I grew up in, I want to be in the number. I want to be one of the ones. Let's go to 5:3-11. We'll put it all together. I see your eyeballs looking at me. Wrap it up, preacher. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Paul's exegetical idea for verses 5-11, he exhorts the Colossians to stop living in their former ways of life apart from Christ by putting to death the practices of the former life, and to embrace their new identity, their new person who is renewed into the image of Christ. So really what Paul is saying, he's saying, since you have been made new, be made new. Since you have been made new, be made new. I love this language. I didn't like it back in the day when I was living like I wanted to live, but now I love this language. Paul says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Everybody say, put to death. Yeah. You were so uncomfortable saying that. Oh, put to death. Put to death. How do you explain put to death? He's saying, put to death what is earthly within you. Can I tell you? You and I, Paul is talking to the church in Colossae, and he's talking to us today. He's saying when it comes to sin in your life, you cannot be passive with it. You know how it is. We'll baby and make excuses and rationalize for the things we do, and we just do this. And Paul is saying, no, you cannot feed it and tempt yourself. You cannot. Can I just really talk about some things? Cole said, go ahead. What is he going to talk about? We'll edit later. I'm going to tell you something. I want to really be clear and practical today. It used to trip me out when I used to go to the store, to the bookstore, and I would be at Barnes & Noble or somewhere, and I see car magazines. And they're selling tires, but they have ladies on it. I'm thinking, what does that have to do with tires? You see how the world and the culture is trying to pull us in. And we are so passive with our relationship. I'm just going to look at tires. No, you're not. You're looking at more than tires. I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm not at my church. Because they'd be like, Pastor, one member said, Pastor, don't go hollering and screaming at them. Be nice. And I bring that illustration up, and I don't even know why I brought that up, but I'm going to bring up one that I know is something we deal with and we wrestle with. We have to be even careful with the things we look at on social media, when we look at things on our computers. Come on, let me check your history. Don't you check mine. Look, I'm just picking. We have to be careful. Right. He said, put to death. That means to really passionately, aggressively, you have to grab these things and say, you know what? You will not live. I will not keep feeding you. The reason that we can't put to death and we can't get over things is because we keep feeding our old nature, and our spiritual man is weak and dying. I'm telling you, if you keep tempting yourself, I'm just going to look at it just 1 second. You're building up that flesh. Paul, he's talking to us and he's talking to them. You got to put to death. Some of you have some things that you are dealing with, and some sins that God is even bringing to your attention right now as I speak. I'm telling you, don't leave this place. Don't get in your car without saying you will not live. I'm putting you to death tonight. He said, put to death what is earthly within you. Sexual immorality. I'm like, Paul, my dad used to preach this text. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear that. And then he says, impurities. I was like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Meaning moral, defined, just contaminated lifestyle. He's talking about, then he says, passions, those strong, uncontrollable emotions. Can I talk practical to you? Don't you be with your friend, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Don't put yourself in situations where those passions get so out of control where you can't control yourself. You don't want to just chill out and go here, you'd be like, I know myself. I got to put some things to death. You get that? Some of y'all laughing, talking about something. I was going somewhere tonight. Don't go. Not tonight. You have to put it to death. sexual immorality, impurities, passions, evil desires. Some of us have, we're struggling. We are believers, but we're struggling with sinful cravings, longings. And again, it is because we keep feeding the flesh. We keep feeding the old person. We keep feeding the old identity. And we need to feed who we are with the new self. Somebody say new self. All right, we almost done. You say, how? We're just on verse. Don't worry. You say, man, this preaching is closed 5 times. But I want you to see something that he's saying, put to death these things within you. Don't play with them. Don't be passive about them. Be aggressive. But here's the catch. I heard somebody say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Can I tell you something? I was trying to resist the devil back in the day when I was a little younger. And I'm like, why is this joker not fleeing? He's a bad boy. I mean, he will not flee. And I'm like, I know God's word is true, but he will not flee. You know what I missed? I missed the first part of that. It said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you put those things to death, it is a form of you saying, God, I am submitting to you. And it won't be long that some of those things that had a strong hold on you, a strong grip on you, they will no longer affect you the same way. It's because your spiritual man is built up, and now you can fight the flesh with a little bit more grit. Now you say, well, this preacher is preaching some moralistic message about pull up yourself by your own bootstraps. No, I'm not. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you, but the Holy Spirit is not going to do it by himself. So don't keep putting yourself in situations. Paul is talking to us. I told you I wasn't going to deal with a bunch of background. It has already been taken care of. We're going to dive right in. Here's what he says. He's saying to the person, to the people that practice these sins, he says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Unfortunately, many people in this world think and believers sometimes, they wrestle with some things. They think that I will escape God because I've seemingly got away and I haven't been punished. I haven't went through anything. And maybe I can just get by. But what Paul is saying to the Colossian church and to us, the wrath of God is coming to those that continue to practice these things. I'm not going to harp long on that. He was like, thank you, move on. But I'm telling you, I don't want the wrath of God coming at me because I'm dipping and tipping and playing and flirting with the sins that don't line up, the things that don't line up with God. Right. Verse 7. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. I love this. He's saying, I want you to understand that was your formal sinful condition, the way you was walking, those sins, those struggles, those things you were doing, that's the way you used to live. But thanks be to God. I'm going to say that again. But thanks be to God for not leaving us in that mess, in that stuff, in those sins. He said, in these you once walked when you were living in them. And I want to just take you somewhere else with this. You need to share what God has done for you because you once lived like some of those people you're around. They need to hear your testimony. Amen. They need to hear the gospel. Don't get all puffed up and say, oh, look at me. I used to do. I'm going to tell you. I grew up in a church, and if y'all don't mind me moving, Cole, how much time I have? 5 more minutes? He said, I'm good. I grew up in a church, guys, I'm going to just talk to y'all because y'all the only ones listening. Everybody else is asleep. So I'll talk to y'all. And plus, y'all look cool. I grew up in a church where people were always making it seem as if they saved themselves, as if they were better than everybody else. You know, when I got saved, I threw away all my worldly music. When I got saved, I did this, and I got saved. I believe what Paul is saying, hey, I need you to be humble. Remember that you once walked this way. I need you to remember, don't puff your chest out. Don't hold your head up. Remember, you used to do that same stuff. And I believe if he could come and talk to us today, he would say, I need you to go tell somebody what God has done for you by the power of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad he didn't leave me with that stuff. He talked about sexual things. And we live in a sex-craving world, and there's nothing wrong with sex, but sex has to be put in its place. Everybody got quiet, Tom. I can't believe he's talking about that. You be talking about it all the time. But put it to death. If you're not married, you say, don't come preaching to me. Telling me, you ain't my mom and daddy. I'm not trying to be. I got enough children. You have to put to death. And you just can't play with this. You can't play with the temptation, the flesh, the lust. I'm telling you. And I don't even know why I'm telling you this. But I believe every last one of us need an accountability partner. That every now and then when you know you're struggling with something, you need to be able to trust somebody that you can confide in and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. Can you help me? Not telling his business and you don't know who he is, so it doesn't really matter. I'll just say this. One guy came to me and said, put a passcode in. Don't tell me what it is. Just block everything because I just can't afford it any longer. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to put to death. He said, Pastor Jacob, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I've been struggling with pornography. I've been struggling with this. And he's saying, I just can't do it no more. Yeah. And praise be to God, he's delivered from that. All because he put it to death. Verse 8. Paul talks to this church and he's talking about sexual things and he's talking about the lust and he's talking about things that we even today struggle with. But now he says, put off the sins of anger and the tongue. Look what he says in verse 8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. In other words, he's saying you have to actively remove these things. That you can't talk the same way. You can't be living with all of this vengeance and all of this stuff within you and this wrath and this malice harming people and slander, talking about folks. Where are my folks that like to talk about folks behind their back? Raise your hand. I had two people raise their hand. They said, well, we're going to be bold tonight. We can't be slanderous. We can't have malice. I want to harm this person because of what they've done to me. Paul is saying this stuff is part of that old nature. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this one. But how many of us use words that we wouldn't use in church? Somebody said, I was just saying something out in the parking lot. I'm challenging you because if the world, and I'm not picking on the world, but if the world was around you, would they be able to look at you and tell that you have a new identity? Or would they say you look and act just like me? because unfortunately, many of us are misrepresenting God. He's telling these believers in your fellowship, in your church, among each other, don't have this anger, this wrath, this malice, this slander, this obscene talk from your mouth. Don't let it come. That's part of the old nature. Then he transitions and says, do not lie to one another. In other words, put off that stuff. Don't lie to each other. You want to know why we shouldn't lie? Because Satan is known as the father of lies. And our God is the God of truth. Our God is not a God or a man that he should lie. Put away lying. Put it away. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm trying to be really practical tonight. Cole gonna go back and he gonna give you all the deep stuff next week. I promise you. I might even be here to hear it. I want to look at lying for us. What does that look like? Look like leaving information off applications or putting something on an application that's not true. Y'all get that? That's not what Paul is talking about, but I want to challenge us in the form of lying. We shouldn't lie. And I tell you, I like telling stories. But if you're not careful, you exaggerate stories and just be lying. My wife said one time, I was telling a good story. I said, well, I'm killing them with this one. And my wife said, I can't believe you was just lying. She was judging me. I said, don't judge me. But that shouldn't be named among us as new creatures, this new identity. Let's move on. Verse 10. He says, put on the new self. I love this. In other words, you have taken off that old clothes. You've been baptized. You have died with Christ. You have put to death those things. And now you're putting on the new self in the form of clothes. You're putting on the new you. You're walking new. You're walking and talking new. You're carrying yourself differently, not because you're puffed up and because you're big and bad within yourself, but you're carrying yourself differently because you are a child of the King. Amen. I don't have to hold my head down. I'll put on the new self. Yeah, thanks be to God for sending his son and his son living in perfect obedience, shedding his blood for me. Thank you that I can be brand new. I don't have to be bound to those old sins. Those things that used to tug at me and those things that I wanted to get free from. He said, now put on the new self. And Paul, he is referring to our new position as children of God through Jesus Christ. He's talking about putting on the new self. I love that, the new self. Some of us are looking for purpose. I say put on the new self. Some of us saying, I just don't know who I am. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with my identity. I'm telling you, put on the new self. You saying, I just want to fit in, and I feel different trying to fit in. I'm going to tell you, stop trying to fit in and put on the new self. You can still be cool with the new self. I remember folks used to say, man, I don't want to be saved because, man, them folks, they weird. I'm still cool. I mean, I don't look like it. Put on a new self. Listen to what it says. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. I love that. That I put on a new self. I'm not perfect yet. I have not arrived yet. I'm not what I'm going to be, but there is an ongoing sanctification that is taking place in my life, and I'm still under construction. I'm still being worked on. God is still molding and making me. It is an ongoing process. Amen. and he's forming me into the image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Put on a new self, Jacob. I talk to myself, which is being renewed in the knowledge, after the knowledge, in the knowledge, after the image of the Creator. Yeah. Put on a new self. Somebody say, put on a new self. So if you don't remember nothing else, you say, I don't remember nothing he preached. You just remember the new self. God is doing a work in our lives as believers. And we may not see it, and we may not feel it. We may not be able to express it. We may not be able to describe it. But I'm telling you, keep putting to death those things that are earthly within you. Keep putting on the new self. And you'll look around. One day you'll say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, look how far I have come. Man, I used to be back there. I remember I started putting to death those things. And as I kept walking in the new self, as I kept walking in the new identity, look where God has brought me. He's so amazing. And I look at some of you, you can testify that God has brought you a long ways. He's done some amazing things in your life. And I'm sure you're thankful. I want to go to verse 11. He said, how many more we got to go until we get to 17? I'm going to rush it. But in Christ, they are all equal members. He's talking about in Christ. He came back and he says this. This is what he says. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Yeah, there was a lot of Jews that are trying to teach something different, false teachings and heresies and trying to put the law on these believers. And Paul is saying, man, squash all of that stuff. Because of Christ, we're all equally members of the Christian community. In this new creation, there's a new identity. And it's not based on all of this stuff that we used to base it on. That's what he's talking to them. He's saying it's not about your nationalities. It's not about those different religious cultures and things and practices that you used to be a part of. It's not about your social standings. Christ's supposed to be all and in all. Christ's supposed to be your life. One preacher summed it up this way. He said, Christ is all. So simple to say, but he's saying Christ is all. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm starting to sweat now. Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. He's telling this church, there's a certain way you're supposed to live and you're supposed to fellowship and you're supposed to operate with each other because of the new identity, the new clothes that you're putting on. Take off the anger and put off that stuff. Put to death the sexual sins. All you need to be focusing on is putting on the new self, putting on hearts of compassion, putting on kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Be patient with one another. Be forgiving. Had one of my students at school said, Mr. May, I'm not going to forgive him. I said, well, why not? They didn't give me an answer. All this young lady said is, until I graduate, I will not forgive. And I'm like, you believer and he a believer? Like, what are we doing? She said, I'm going to just thug it out for a whole year. Let me tell y'all something. Don't you thug nothing out. Forgive folks. Don't thug it out. She said, I'll pass him in the hallway. I'll block him in real life. She was getting me together. Paul saying, us believers, we don't operate like that. Because God has forgiven us, we should forgive each other and forgive others. Be patient with other people. He's saying, be kind, be humble, be meek. Just don't be like the old you, because you have put that stuff to death. You have died to the former life. Amen. I like y'all, amen. It just be so cool. Amen. So I'm going to go to the church Sunday and say it like this. Amen. 14, 15, 16, and 17. Let's put it all together. And above all these, put on love. Somebody say love. Love. Which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, put on love. Love should be the central characteristic that bring unity to believers. You want to know why? Because God is love. Let the peace of Christ rule. In other words, allow the peace of Christ to operate in God and to lead you and to bring harmony and to bring unity among you believers. Let it rule within the Christian community. Surrender to the God of peace, allowing him to govern your heart, your actions, to guide you throughout life. Let the peace of Christ rule. I love this one. And let the word of Christ dwell. If you want to put something to death, just dwell in God's word. If you want to put something to death, I'm going to tell you that God's word will be like a mirror. It will show you yourself, and it will help you. It will say, listen, this is who you are. I know your friends are saying this, and I know you have this ideal about yourself, but this is who you are. And when you finally see who you are, you can say, you know what? I don't like that guy. I'm going to put that stuff to death. I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to die with him so I can be raised with him and spend glorious years and life and eternity with him in heaven. I'd have went back to my church. Let me come back. Cole's not going to invite me back. If you want to fight the enemy, you stay in God's word. I told you I'm trying to be real practical tonight, and I don't normally do a bunch of applications, and I don't do a lot of that stuff because I believe the word of God can speak for itself, but I felt led tonight to really bring some practical things. Let me tell you something. When I started reading my Bible and really started studying my Bible, I would go to sleep at the snap of a finger. Anybody like that? You get real sleepy? Somebody almost raised their hand. I used to get so sleepy and so tired. And I said, God, I really want to know you. I really want to walk in this Christian faith the way I'm supposed to. I don't want to fake no more. I don't want to go alone to get along. I don't want to have a different lifestyle outside of church and one inside of church. I want to be brand new. Help me to read your word. Do you not know you might have to do some radical things like I used to do? Here's one thing I used to do. I said, it's going to take a good one to pace the flow with the Bible and go to sleep. I said, God, your word says, you know, because I was saying to myself, that old nature was whipping me. It had me feeling guilty. I was ashamed and I was embarrassed. And I'm saying, God, I know I'm not right. I want to be right. And I had to do some radical things. And I'm going to tell you, this is not a part of the text, but when it comes to putting things to death, if you got to cry real tears and say, I want to do it, but I won't, You cry those tears. I'm going to tell you something. You got to fight. It's not going to be easy. You have to fight. Anybody married in here? I said, not me. Come on, married folks, raise your hand. Stop acting like that. Well, it's only a handful. You married. All right. The guy next to him was like, he's married. I'm going to tell you something. It's not easy for married people, single people. We all have to fight. Some of us going to be tempted as soon as we leave out of here. Some of us going to be tempted as soon as we check our phones. And there's something on the inside of some of us that are saying, oh, I want to be free, but I'm not ready yet. I'm telling you, you have to understand you are no longer alive to that old nature. You are dead. You are dead. You are dead. Right. I'm closing. Close my Bible. You say, man, closing your Bible don't mean you done. We done figured you out, buddy. I end here. I'm going to just preach this at my church again and teach, and I get it all out, and we'll do all that stuff. Y'all rushed me tonight. Shame on y'all. Paul is saying to us today, and this last verse, he says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do. That you shouldn't be talking any kind of talk. You shouldn't be doing any type of things. You should be teaching. You should be admonishing. You should be singing songs. Your language should be different. You should be building each other up. You should be exalting each other in the sense of elevating each other closer to God, pushing each other. We should be doing all of these things. He's saying, now I want you to understand whatever you do, make sure you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what that means is, the name, it means that the person acting or speaking is doing so in the power of or in the presence of. So I tell you this, whatever you say, if you can't do it in the name of Jesus, don't say it. Whatever you do, if you can't do it in the name of Jesus, don't do it. Simply because you are not the old you. You are the new self. You have a new identity in Christ. And you're no longer going to walk in that old way. I'm going to leave you with this scripture here, and I like this. It said, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be salty or be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. This is the verse I want to leave you with, that you should live in that new identity. That in the same way, let your light so shine before men. Men should see your light. Not to pat you on the back, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Somebody say new self. I'm putting to death that old man. I'm no longer going to live like that. I'm no longer going to talk the same. When I go on dates, I'm not going to the same places and in these secluded areas. I'm not going to tempt myself. I am going to put it to death and walk in the new identity. Is that anybody want to walk in their new identity? You do. I have one hand. Shame on the rest of you. Let's walk in it. And I'm telling you, I am encouraged by you. You will see me again. And when you see me again, I'm going to sit back there and I hope somebody else holler at me like I've hollered at you. And then I'll be like, quiet down, calm down, buddy. All right? I want to pray for you. Then we'll sit in silence and we will just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And what I want you to do as I'm praying, you pray with me, but I want you to be honest with yourself. Where are you struggling? We're not questioning if you're a believer. We know you're a believer. We get that. But where are you struggling? And are you struggling and you're not telling anybody and you're trying to, as the young lady said, you're trying to thug it out. Let's not thug it out. Let's work on it. Let's give it to God, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You don't have to struggle no more. Tonight is the end. All right? I'm putting it to death. So, get in your mind, what is that thing that you're wrestling with? And I'm closing my eyes, and I want you to close your eyes with me. Is it anger? Is it just your tongue, and you say stuff you shouldn't say, and you have a vengeance within you? I got to get even, whatever it is. I'm giving these things to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for your word is true. Tonight, we have heard your word, and tonight, we have looked at some things differently. Now, Lord, I ask tonight that you give us the strength, the courage, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to put to death those things that are earthly within us. Help us to set our eyes on things above. Help us not to be carried away with the lust and the temptations that come at us. Help us to stand and be who you have called us to be in this new identity. And so, Lord, thank you for the truth that we have died with you. And now we have been raised with you. And you will come back soon. And when you come back, we will be with you in glory. Now, Lord, every person under the sound of my voice, if anybody is struggling with anything, I say give them freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Oxano Podcast. If you're interested in the songs that we sing, you can find us on Spotify at Oxano Songs We Sing. If you have more questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about next steps in following him, please email us at connect@dawsonchurch.org. We'll see you next week.